put off some anger in verse 8, wrath, malice, and blasphemy, filthy communication. And we cause a lot of brokenness with our words. He says Christians, they talk a little differently. They use their words for different purposes. In chapter 4, he makes the point how our speech should be seasoned with salt. That our words are to be used to bring about purification. That our words are to be used to help preserve righteousness in the world rather than causing more problem, more brokenness. Christians know how to behave themselves. We're to be renewed in our knowledge. And as he's already stated in the letter earlier, Christ can give us the renewal of that knowledge. He can tell us how we need to reshape our minds, our thinking. Thirdly, verse 11, where there is, he's talking about Christ. Christ is the place here. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called into one body, and be ye thankful. Thirdly, ladies and gentlemen, Christians know how to work together. Christians know how to work together. You know, being a Christian, someone who's been raised with Christ, it's not sort of a once and done kind of thing that I can just go back and live off to myself. I have a responsibility to others who've been raised with Christ. I have a responsibility to other Christians. I have a responsibility to the church to help accomplish the purposes for which Christ designed the church. And one of the reasons why the local church, like it is here at Talmadge in Thayer Street where I preach, the reason why that local church is established in part is so that we can draw collective strength from one another and help each other get to heaven. Because let's face it, there aren't many Christians in the world. Well, what's the population of Akron? About 250,000 people? How many Christians are in Akron? I don't know the number. I suppose only the Lord knows the number, but there aren't 250,000. The Lord's people, if you understand history at all, have always been a minority. And because of that, it adds to this need that we have for each other. So often what happens is instead of helping each other, we become a hindrance to one another. Some of the worst problems, the worst trials that we may experience in life all come about when there are problems in the local church. And that's sad, it's unfortunate, but it's reality because we're all humans. We've all come out of the world, and sometimes sin resurfaces, sometimes selfishness rears its ugly head. And I want my way. And if you're not going to help get my way, I'm going to run you over, run you out, run you off. No, we are united in Christ. And in any congregation, there are people from all different backgrounds. The Lord's church is a diverse place, as is even indicated here in verse 11. There were Christians who came from a Jewish background. There's some who came from a Greek background. There were some Christians who were slaves and servants. There were some Christians who were masters. There were some Christians who were very wealthy and affluent. There were some Christians who were very poor. But they all became Christians. They were all brought together in Christ. Only Christ can bring about unity like that. And when we come together, if we all cultivate this new man of righteousness and holiness, then we can accomplish the work that God has given us to do in the context of the church. He says that we need to have hearts of mercy, that we need to be kind and humble and meek and long-suffering. We need to forbear with each other. You know what it sounds like? You know what those qualities remind me of? Those qualities remind me what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5 in the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount, that here's what kingdom citizens look like. They're meek, they're humble, they're pure in heart. And so when people of that mind, people who are of a like mind, the mind of Christ, when they come together, they can do very good and helpful things for the cause of the Lord. They can be very encouraging to each other. That's a lot of the reason I'm sure you came tonight. Because you know that assembling with the Lord's people and worshiping and seeing other people and getting to renew friendships, that it's a very uplifting thing. I guarantee every one of you tonight, you will feel better leaving than when you arrived here. Some of you probably had a bad day. I don't think there's anything better that you could have done than come together and worship tonight. You've had a long day. It's probably, for some of you, the first time you've been able to sit down. Some of you haven't been home for dinner and you want me to quit preaching so you can go and do that. The Christians, they know how to work together. And the reason they know how to work together is because they're looking to Christ for that source of knowledge. Notice verse 14. He says, above all of those qualities, put on charity. Charity is simply love in action. Not just in thought, but love in action. And charity is the bond of perfectness. Now, I began tonight talking about brokenness. Well, what's going to fix brokenness? When there's a fracture, when something's broken, it needs to be put back together. And very often what you'll do is you'll try to glue something back together or you'll bond it together. And here he says that it is charity that serves as that bonding agent. That charity is what keeps us together. It is what enables us to stay together when the storms of life arise. When we go through trial, it is love for one another.